Good morning.
Morning.
Good to see everyone. I was asked twice if I needed a PowerPoint. Why do you laugh? I feel it a compliment that they think I know what a PowerPoint is. I have trouble answering my phone sometimes. In Matthew 25 and 31, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit in the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. In John, the 5th chapter, verse 22, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son." Then in Acts, the 10th chapter, when Peter is at the house of Cornelius, he says, "And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he, Jesus, who is ordained by God to judge the living and the dead." And in 2 Timothy 4 and 1, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom." At the second coming, Jesus is going to judge. Jesus, the Son of God, and God the Father has given Him this judgment to do. Jesus will come again, judge the living and the dead, everyone that has walked on the face of this earth. Jesus is the judge. In Luke, the 12th chapter, Jesus is primarily talking to His disciples, but He's in a crowd. And in verse 13, "Then one from the crowd says to Him," Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" Who made me a judge? Are we talking about the same guy? Jesus knew all too well who was in the right, who was in the wrong. Jesus knows the hearts, the thoughts, the intentions of man. Why didn't Jesus settle this dispute? Jesus had a heavenly mission. His ministry was on the eternal, on the spiritual, not the material. His kingdom is not of this world, and He's not going to be distracted with the injustice and the wrongdoing of this temporary life. A similar situation He had with Mary and Martha, when Martha says in Luke, the 10th chapter, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Jesus, aren't you going to tell this lazy sister of mine to get up and help? Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her." It has to do with priorities. The spiritual, the eternal things take priority. Now, that doesn't mean our earthly concerns are not on the priority list, but they are definitely not on the top. Do not be worried and troubled about many things. Choose the good part. We get distracted in this world about things in this world. We are annoyed by how things are unjust, and we may make some very justifiable judgments. Romans, the 13th chapter, says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities." So you're on the highway, and the speed limit is 65, and you set your cruise control on 65, you may be passed by other drivers. Do you make a judgment of those drivers? Some may be passing very quickly. And this could be a very legitimate judgment. But what mindset, what attitude does this put you in? I'm right and he's wrong. He needs to be punished. I hope there's a cop up there and gets him. Or maybe the idea of jealousy. I'm in a hurry too. Why can't I go that fast? Or maybe it's just condemning all the drivers on the highway. The highway's full of crazy and reckless drivers. In John 7 and 24, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. There may be a family emergency. They may be headed to the hospital. Maybe a woman in labor. Or maybe just a crazy and reckless driver. But if you're not the police and you've not been harmed, what difference does it make you making a judgment? What difference is that going to make? Should we take the stand that the speed limit should always be followed? Now, I've spent several thousand miles on a motorcycle. And if you're going down the hill on a motorcycle, being followed by a logging truck, it's not a good time to prove a point. Some may say, that's the law, and it should always be. Well, is this really the hill you want to die on? Anyone here with a driver's license that has not gone over the speed limit? Has not exceeded what is posted? Now, I'm not promoting, I'm not justifying exceeding the speed limit. But I'd like to point out in Matthew 7, judge not. Boy, that's where a lot of people like to stop. Just right there, judge not. But no, it goes further. Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank in your own eye? How much time do we spend judging others, getting annoyed, getting upset? And for some, this is very legitimate judgments, but it can ruin the days of some. It just ruins the day. I hope I'm a little more mature than I have been in the past. I come home complaining to Kim about this driver on the highway. She says, "You think he's still thinking about you?" Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Get over it. Let's go back to John 7th chapter where it says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. The very next chapter in John 8. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and now early in the morning he came into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses, in the law, commanded us that such a one should be stoned. What do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something to which accuse him. But Jesus stoops down, writes on the ground with his finger as though he didn't hear them. So when they continued asking him, he raised up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." They wanted to see how Jesus was going to judge the situation. She was caught in the very act. She was guilty. The law said that she should be stoned. Do you agree with the law? Would you have been collecting your stones? And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and those who heard it were convicted in their conscience and went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Do not judge according to appearance. Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. The appearance was obvious. Here's a few things we don't know. Where's the guy? Was the guy a friend of the scribes and the Pharisees? Was the woman framed? Was this whole thing just a setup to test the judgment of Jesus? Would you have felt justified stoning this woman? That's the law, and she should have been punished. Deuteronomy 19 and 15 says, "By the mouth of two or three witnesses the matter shall be established." Woman, where are those accusers of you, of yours? Without any witnesses, Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Did Jesus know of her guilt? Jesus could have made a judgment. Keep in mind how merciful Jesus is. There was another woman in the Bible that was unmarried and she was pregnant. If you knew her, you knew she was single. It was going to become obvious that she was pregnant. She was engaged but not yet married. And I'm sure she wasn't interested in being stoned. Maybe this is the reason why she was hidden. Here's the facts. Mary was single. Mary was pregnant. Her pregnancy would have been very difficult to explain. Man's standard, she would have been judged sinful and probably delusional. The appearance was that Mary had sinned. The standards and morals of the day's world seemed to be going downhill quickly. What society accepts as being right or wrong is it's difficult to define. As society changes, morals also change. For a Christian, God defines our morals. He sets the standards and what is acceptable. God's level of morals are more structured and disciplined than the world's. We may make judgments about others regarding the lifestyle or habits. Homosexuality, abortions, pornography, abusing drugs, gambling, vocabulary. Most of these are socially accepted. And most of these are legal under man's law. And we are tempted to look down on those who have made poor decisions. We are tempted to exalt ourselves and forget that it was only by the mercy of God that we have been washed, sanctified, and justified by Jesus. And we may expect others outside the body of Christ, outside the church, that don't read the Bible, we may expect them to know, understand, and follow the standards of God. Luke 18 and 10. I'm going to modify this verse just a little bit. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One stood thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I'm not a homosexual. I don't watch pornography. I don't abuse drugs or alcohol. I don't gamble." The other, standing afar off, would not so much raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will enter the kingdom of heaven, of kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Oh, we are very aware of who all are not going to go to heaven. But many of us have forgotten where we have come from. And such were some of you. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We may be judging others, thinking that the laws in the Bible are common knowledge. They are not. They're not common knowledge. It's amazing. People that are casually searching for what God wants, they don't have a clue sometimes. Cats don't bark. The first time I heard that from the pulpit, it was from John Ball, and I thought, okay, John, where are you going with this one? In our society, many things are legal and socially accepted that are not approved by God. Cats do not bark. Don't expect them to bark. They're not going to bark. And we cannot expect the ungodly people in this world to live within godly standards. Some are in rebellion, and many are in ignorance. But once you are added to the church, you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and you are renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And now you are living within the body of Christ. You are living in the house of God, and you are more prepared for the judgment. God overrules the acceptance of men and what man expects. But knowing what God wants and being in the body of Christ, we hold one another accountable. Three verses, and two of them we've already covered, but three verses that we use to caution our judgment. Judge not, that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. Don't expect more out of others than what you're going to expect out of yourself. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Be certain that you have all the facts. James 2:13, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. We do judge, and we are expected to judge. Elders, evangelists, parents, all Christians make judgments. Now, we hear people using the phrase, don't judge me. It may be a more appropriate phrase, don't judge me until you've walked in my shoes, meaning don't judge me without the facts. Paul knew some facts about the church at Corinth, and he made judgment. 1 Corinthians, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such a sexual immorality is not even named among the Gentiles. That a man has his father's wife, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he has done this deed, might be taken that he who has done this deed might be taken away from you. For I indeed, absent in the body but present in the spirit, have already judged as though I were present him who has done this deed. Paul has the facts. He knows what's going on. And he makes righteous judgment. He has made a judgment, and he says what actions need to be followed. The congregation also needs to take note that Paul has made a judgment, and the church needs to also. And they were told not to keep company with that member. In 2 Thessalonians 3 and 6, it says to stay away in some translations, and others say that you withdraw from him. We are to judge and to react to judgment. I don't know that I could even come up with what would have happened if I told my father, don't judge me. It would be a one-time event, I'm sure. Church discipline would be impossible without judging. And God promotes judgment. 1 Kings and 3rd chapter, God says to Solomon, ask what I shall give you. And what did Solomon ask for? He asked for wisdom. Solomon said, "Understand an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours?" This speech pleased the Lord that Solomon asked this thing, and we know that God gave him the wisdom to judge and to judge righteously. Matthew the third chapter, Matthew the third chapter, John the Baptist is out in the wilderness preaching. But when he saw the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from this wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones." This was a pretty harsh judgment. Brood of vipers. And he tells them in verse 8, "Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance." They need to prove themselves. Evidence that they had changed. Any righteous judgment that we make or that John the Baptist made, it needs evidence. Matthew 7 and 16, "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes among thorn bushes or figs among thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and hewn into the fire. Therefore, by their fruit you will know them." John judged them. He judged their life. He judged their actions. And it was bad fruit. We are able to make judgments, righteous judgments, if we have evidence. Proverbs 20 and 11, "Even a child is known by his deeds." You think of the child that's always clean and polite. Okay, I'm not thinking about him. Okay. "Even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right. Parents make judgments concerning children. The law makes judgments regarding society. Elders judge the needs of their congregation. Evangelists and congregations judge men to be officers of the church. We all are judged, and we all need to make righteous judgments. But I want you to remember, do not worry and be troubled about too many things. Don't judge anyone in a way that you don't want to be judged. make sure you know the facts and be merciful. With that being said, please judge me. Judge me. Because if I'm wrong, I want to be right. Judge what kind of a husband I am. How do I treat my wife? Because I want a good marriage. Judge me what kind of a father I am, because I want my children to be successful. Judge me when I'm down, because I need to be encouraged. When I'm happy, because I want you to rejoice with me. Do I seem to be lonely? I need your company. When temptation is brutal, I need your prayers. If I need disciplined, please discipline me in a godly and loving way, because I want to go to heaven. I want you to look around. Make eye contact with someone. Do you love them? Who are you looking at? Do you love them? Do you make judgments? Do you want to see them in heaven? Judge righteously. Matthew 16:27. For the Son of Man will come in his glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. And Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment.